Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two on this Football Friday. Danny and Dusty with you. Thanks for being a part of our day as well on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. 1080 The Fan is on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan and twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. All right, let's get to a little bit of college foosball. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, right here on The Fan, the Oregon Ducks. Slipping in the polls down to 6th in the AP, 7th in the coaches' poll from their number 3 seat after a rocky start against the Idaho Vandals. Welcome in Boise State, a thorn in their side, 0-3 all time against the Broncos. Not good.
No, I'm really interested to see how this game goes. We had Bob Beeler on, play-by-play of the Broncos on yesterday, and talking about just where this Boise State team is, the you know, with Maddox in at quarterback, Genty at running back, the totality of where this team is under the non-Peterson era and the transition they've been making, a lot of people have picked them to be the Group of Five team that makes it to the playoff.
Yeah.
And this is where you make that statement. And every time these two teams have played, there has been a level of nastiness that has come out of this game. And I'm, for the first time going into this game, Oregon has a no doubt, absolutely unequivocal, no doubt talent advantage. And they need to exert that.
Yeah, all eyes are going to be on the offensive line, though. And look, they had the talent advantage in spades against Idaho, and it was the self-inflicted wounds that continued to change the flow of that game. Anytime Oregon was getting that momentum and you felt the avalanche was going to start piling on to Idaho, the Ducks found a way to bullet right in foot. And whether it was, you know, erasing two big plays off of the illegal formation penalties that we obviously saw referees taking note of that in the NFL's opener last night with the Baltimore Ravens. But it was a fumble as you're going, marching the ball down the field. Moving the ball wasn't the issue. It was finishing drives. And you can chalk that up to, you know, the shaky play on the interior of the offensive line. You can chalk it up to the running backs and the inability to get through those ankle pick tackles that continued to get Jordan James and Noah Whittington at the line of scrimmage. Just that little balance that we've seen Oregon backs be so good at, just kind of running through that and finding those extra yards after somebody tries to trip you up, they were falling down. Or it could be, you know, you have a new quarterback in a system where there is going to be, no matter who is stepping in, there is going to be a drop-off in the mastery of the offense, especially when you have a guy like Bo Nix and how his level of comfort that he had with Oregon's players and the system, even with Will Stein in his first year. They kept so much similar to what Kenny Dillingham did that it was easy for Bo Nix to speak that language. Dylan Gabriel, I didn't think was the issue. I don't think the receivers and getting separation were an issue by any means. It was up front, and all eyes are going to be on that offensive line. They need to be able to get a push. I think we're going to see some different faces, whether that is because Matt Bedford is healthy at the starting right guard position, the transfer from Indiana who dressed down but not playing last week, where Dan Lanning said he was optimistic that both he and Gary Bryant Jr., the wide receiver, were going to play. Gary Bryant Jr. is going to be an impact player on that offense. Mm-hmm. He is going to be really good for them. But, again, receivers weren't the issue. They were getting open. It was, does Dylan Gabriel have enough time to make those throws? Is the game plan going to be expanded enough to where, that's another thing that I don't think we're talking about nearly enough, is the vanilla game plan Oregon had against Idaho, just knowing that, hey, we're going to lean on them. The dam's going to break at some point, and the dam never broke. I mean, you know, in the fourth quarter, they put up some points, and it changed a little bit, but the dam never broke in that second half like we've come accustomed to seeing. That middle eight, the 4 minutes right before half and the 4 minutes right after halftime, those are so important to Oregon. That's where they have thrived and really put their foot on the throat of opponents. Didn't happen. And it starts with getting a push with your offensive line and being able to protect for Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, as it pertains to Gabriel, when we had him on ahead of the season, one of the things I asked him was about like what – it's kind of entailing the same thing with Bo Nix and highlighting the things that he brought from UCF to Oklahoma, Oklahoma to Oregon, and making it simple for him and using a lot of those things. And, you know, against Idaho it if you were going to be critical of Gabriel, is that he didn't take off. He didn't tuck the ball and run. Mm-hmm. If you want to say he didn't push the ball in the field, like, yeah, he didn't, because he didn't have the time for any route to develop. But taking the ball, and there was a couple different times where he could have took off and run for a ton of yards. A
couple third and fives, third and shorts that you sit there and you go, run.
Yeah, and I think if your pushback is that Lanning and those from the top are telling him, look, man, early in the season,
Limit hits, limit your contact.
Like that's an important thing, because Dylan's not a big dude. This isn't Cam Newton out here. So if you're trying to limit that, because what has been the thing that has been the thing that undid Oregon, really, 2 years ago, it was Bo's ankle. It's just, you know, and you can't prevent that. You can't play scared. But if you're playing Idaho, probably shouldn't have to tuck it 5, 6, 7 times and take those hits and put yourself in that position.
Yeah, the level of panic in my mind is not
high.
It's not a panic. It's like, boy, if it happens another week, then you get concerned.
Then the eyebrows go up. Yes.
Then you start going, what's going on? But the level of panic is not nearly what it has been in years past when you have a lackluster start and you come out the way that Oregon did, because the biggest difference between Oregon this year and where they've been in years past is they have a very good defense, and that defense was exceptionally good against Idaho. Even they gave up 14 points in that game, one of them on a trick play after on a sudden change where you go for it on fourth down, you miss, you turn the ball over on downs, trick plays coming, it worked for Idaho. And the other one was set up by a screen pass where you don't think that is going to be just pounded into the brain of Oregon this week in playing keys, playing fundamentals. Yeah, it'll be there. But the defense being able to slow teams down and grind a game to a halt, that can afford your offense to catch up, because the weapons aren't the concern. The health of the offensive line is, because it's not just Bedford, it's Dave Iuli, two interior offensive linemen. That makes a big difference in how you approach your offensive line play. Whether, you know, and a guy that came in highly touted and got run early last year and then hurt his shoulder, Nashad Struthers as well, an interior offensive lineman. Do we see more of him coming up this week? And how does that change what the rotation looks like? Because last week it was largely just Marcus Harper, Charlie Pickard, and then Poncho Loulou on going left guard, center, right guard. We may see a far different rotation where Poncho was supposed to be the guy who's going to be your center heading into this year, played really dang well in that Fiesta Bowl against Liberty. Again, it was against Liberty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how does this kind of look moving forward? I think you are going to see big changes in rotation and then just the game plan itself being more tailored to your opponent and tailored to Boise State as opposed to, hey, we're going to roll the ball out, we're going to do what we do, and we're going to just maul you. That's what they had in the Idaho approach.
When you look at this game, what needs to happen for this week to be a success?
I think winning comfortably is something that fans want to see.
Because the line right now is 19.5.
Yeah.
And over under 61.5. So basically you're looking at a game that should be like 42-21.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't look at winning comfortably as the final score. It is the flow of the game.
Stylistically.
Right. It is, are you able to run the football against them? Establishing the line of scrimmage. Does Dylan Gabriel have the time to take those shots deep? Because teams are going to take what Idaho did and say, all right, we're gonna give that a whirl. We're going to cap the back end of the defense and make sure we don't get beat deep. Mm-hmm. We're going to rally to the football. Again, I said this earlier in the week, I don't think I've ever seen an FCS team tackle as well as Idaho did, because even when a tackle was missed, there was somebody else right there.
Replicating that level of tackling is not something you just do.
They were very good, and they timed up the snap count tremendously. And that was one of the things that was a bit of a head-scratcher. You go for a hard count twice, you get them to jump off sides twice. Probably going to see a little bit more of that as teams continue to try to time up the snap. But I think controlling the line of scrimmage on the offensive side, and then it is, you know, forcing Boise State to be uncomfortable. They when they have the ball on offense. Oregon's defense, if you are a team built on defense, and Jeffrey Bassa is injuries not a concern, by all accounts, he will be playing. But you are going to have one of the best running backs in all of college football that you're going up against. I mean, quite possibly the best running back in college football, in Ashton Gentry.
Yeah, 5'9", 220-pound bowling ball.
He is going to get yards.
Yeah, whether it's out of the backfield catching the ball or running between the tackles.
They have road pavers on the offensive line, too. It is winning that line of scrimmage, controlling Ashton Gentry. That is what is going to be important. Like, the final score, it's not like covering 19.5, which is what the line is at right now. It is how the flow of the game goes. Do they score in that middle eight, right? Which Dan Lanning, that's a staple in part of their identity, is a final 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 minutes of the second half, you get points in that middle eight. Because if you're getting points there, those are the ones that are backbreakers for teams. And that means you're not shooting yourself in the foot. Flow of the game, I thought more than anything else, including the offensive line play, I thought the self-inflicted wounds, which was partially the offensive line, but it's also missed assignments in pass protection by running backs. It's also a couple of drop balls. Their ball didn't hit the ground very often when Dylan Gabriel threw it.
It was 41 of 49?
41 of 49, but a couple of drops in there that you sit there and you go, those will keep drives alive for you. It is, you know, perimeter blocking, and I think there was a run that was popped that got called back because you had a hold on the outside. You have those situations that affect the flow of the game. I think that's what I'm looking for. Success is not just winning, but controlling the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively, because you didn't do it offensively against Idaho. Eyebrow raise, looking very skeptical at that. You did against Idaho, but you have a different animal in Boise State. And then limiting those self-inflicted wounds that just killed drive after drive after drive. That's it. That's it for me.
Murder, because, death, kill.
Look, we talk about this like style points are going to matter now.
Yes.
It's a 12-team playoff. Win the damn game and get better as the season goes on. Full stop.
And it's less about style, and it's more about just doing what you need to do.
Yeah. Last year, Alabama, they play South Florida this week. They played South Florida last week and won 17-3. And people at halftime, people were like, what's going on with Alabama? You know, like they improved. They almost beat the national champion. Remember that was an overtime game in the Rose Bowl, right? Against Michigan.
Pretty good.
They were really dang good. Handed Georgia their only loss of the year. You can get better as the season goes on. There were a lot of alerts and red flags, but didn't see many.
You can
if
put
any.
All that behind you if you go out there and do what you need to do.
Yeah. Didn't see many, if any, on the defensive side of the ball. You saw him on the interior of the offensive line and with the running backs. And look, I think the running back room is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, we didn't see any of Jay Harris, the D2 transfer from Southwest Missouri State, who is a load in the backfield. Jordan James was inches from breaking. I mean, we had the one where he turf monster trips him up, then he cramps up as he's making a cutback with one guy to beat, and if he makes that cutback...
Has he tried not doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. That might be useful. But if you get those things out of the way, then you're looking at that game kind of turns on its head. It's the little things like, again, that was a Murphy's Law game. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong, and it did go wrong for Oregon. Survived, though.
They should have just called the touchdown play every time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Steve Spurrier did say that about Florida.
Yeah, you just dial up that tight. Well, they're going to dial up a DJ Lagway, the five-star quarterback. They're starting a true freshman this week.
I looked at that class, this last class. It's like six of the top 10 true freshmen are starting now.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Ready to go.
Crazy.
Hey, Oregon State's playing a true freshman quarterback, too. They head down to San Diego to take on the Aztecs of San Diego State in Snapdragon Stadium. We'll take a look at that game next. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oregon State heads down to Snapdragon Stadium to take on San Diego State, the Aztecs, Mountain West. 7:30 kick between the Beavs and the Aztecs. Oregon State kind of shrugged off a sluggish start, as a lot of teams had to do early in week one, and finished off to Idaho State in pretty impressive fashion. They go down to San Diego State now, and they're playing a San Diego State team that is not going to be the class of Mountain West football. They are the sleeping giant that is in a coma and never wants to wake up.
It's so sad because they have such dope uniforms.
They do. Those helmets are incredible. Yeah. I've always liked their look.
Oh, God. And they tightened it up this season, too. It's just, oh. Yeah.
They didn't look good in week one, especially early. They played Texas A&M Commerce, which used to be a D2 school a few years ago. And Commerce was leading 6-3 at halftime of that game. Remember, Sean Lewis is the head coach at San Diego State now.
Oh, that's right.
He of fired by Deion Sanders midway through the season as the offense coordinator at Colorado fame, because the offense was the issue last year, Deion. But he needed somebody to blame, so it was Sean Lewis. Sean Lewis goes and takes over that San Diego State team, and they're starting a true freshman at quarterback, Danny O'Neill. True freshman. Mm. If you're Trent Bray, this is the perfect situation. Dial up the heat.
Yeah, make sure he sees everything he's never seen before.
Because what San Diego State wants to do is run the football.
And be vanilla as hell and control possession.
They got Marquez Cooper as a running back. Sean Lewis, his offenses are really fun. Mm. They are really fun. But he, Marquez Cooper is their running back, and he went off for 223 in some tutties against Commerce last week. You know, he is the leading rusher in college football all time right now, the active leading rusher.
Oh.
It's not Ashton Gentry. It's not Ollie Gordon. It's Marquez Cooper.
I definitely would have thought it was Ollie.
No. It's Marquez Cooper. He played for Lewis at Kent State and then transferred to Ball State when Lewis went to Colorado. And so he was at Ball State last year. He played 2 years, saw 2 years of time with Sean Lewis at Kent State, played last year at Ball State, and now is at San Diego State. Obviously, tailor-made for that style of back because, I don't know, Sean Lewis recruited him to play in his offense at Kent State. Yeah, they really do. He is an animal, though. And dial up the heat on the freshman quarterback because you're going to need all that pressure to slow this guy down. And, again, San Diego State is not one of those teams that is going to be a contender in the Mountain West. That is going to go down to Boise State and UNLV. And UNLV, the sexy pick to sneak up and take that group of five spot in the college football playoff. Barry Odom is doing an incredible job at UNLV, even with losing their quarterback, Maia Vea, to USC, who was battling Miller Moss for the starting job up until the end.
That literally sounded like it came down to the end.
But UNLV, really good. San Diego State, not that team this year. But Lewis does an incredible job with the offense.
It's a travesty that teams that have such a good look struggle.
Well, with San Diego State, it's like your location could not be better.
No.
You got, finally, your own stadium, and you're not playing in Qualcomm. They built a new stadium for you, and you're in a fertile recruiting ground. You're in a conference that you can win games. I don't know if you took anybody to San Diego State's campus who would say, no, I don't want to go here.
Also, do you know what they have? That they can have their student-athletes?
What
their major can be?
Huh.
You can major in surfing.
Sick.
San Diego State is the school you can major in surfing. They've changed
shred
it.
The gnar. Oh,
they have changed it, I'm not kidding you, to the surf and skate studies.
Oh, so it's surfing and skating.
Yeah. This is like Ray Gunn having a PhD in breakdancing.
That's right. Go Aztecs.
I mean, everybody wants to put communications down on their what they play at school.
Yeah. Surfing would be a brand
surfing
new
is a mwah.
I would be
I majored
so
in communications, sir.
But look, you know what I'm saying. When they list their bios on every website for the school.
Yes.
When you scroll through,
yeah,
85% of them are communications. And then probably 5% are some form of sociology.
Mm-hmm.
Another 5% is journalism, and the final 5% is hard math and science. Like, those are your fifth-year seniors, sixth-year seniors that they aren't going pro in anything, but they have, like, a master's or are working towards a PhD in, like, mineral study. And you're like, oh, that left tackle's really smart.
Yep.
But other than that, like, bring back weird majors. I love seeing that when you look at the list and you go, underwater basket weaving, huh?
We need to have more of that, but now it's just general studies.
Yeah.
You get a lot of general studies guys, which is a solid hack there. Because you don't want to...
Undeclared.
You don't want to pin yourself down to something.
Nah.
You know, just keep it general.
Yeah, San Diego State has the Center for Surf Research.
That's badass. That's really... I'm in. But the Beavs start 2-0. That's a great start to the year.
Hey, look, Beavs need to win 10 games. They need to win 10 games. If they want to keep that little fire in their hearts alive of potentially being saved by another conference.
Well, they need to start 2-0 because it gets tougher when after this week you get Oregon, then you have Purdue, and then you have UNLV a couple weeks after that. Like
they need to win 10 games.
You got Cal, Washington State, Boise State. 10 is very optimistic.
I know that. It's going to be difficult for them. They need to.
What happens if they don't?
I think they start falling off the national picture very quickly of any little foothold that they have.
Start? Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Not to, step on their neck or anything.
As I'm saying, if you want to have relevance, if you've got, let's say UNLV Boise State is a close game this year. Boise State wins. And you can go out there and let's say you handle UNLV. Mm-hmm. And you get that kind of transitive property bump that everybody gets when you get those games, because they don't really, outside of Oregon, they don't have anything that's going to give them something to stick their claws into. You know what I mean?
UNLV will be. I think UNLV is going to be a top 20 team at some point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that if they can go out there, if they can win 10 games, they can stay just relevant enough, go, okay, because they can't have a fall off here. They cannot have a fall off year and maintain anything. So that's what I'm saying.
I think if they went 8-4, people would be like, they did a pretty damn good job with everything that left.
Oh, I'm not arguing that.
8-4, I think they would not be crushed, and I think people would say that is really damn impressive for the hand that they were dealt heading into the season and all of the defections. Your head coach leaves. You don't have a conference to play in. I think 8-4, it would be wildly successful. And I don't think, 10-2, I'm not sure you're peeling off any more recruits because of 10-2. I don't think it makes you any more attractive to a conference if you go 10-2.
You don't think so?
No.
I think that there's a stark difference between 8-4, 10-2, considering everything that's happened to them.
That's not what is going to get them into a conference. It really isn't. I mean, look what every conference commissioner is saying right now. Like, your brand... we've seen 10-win seasons before.
That's true.
And what does that didn't do anything for it?
Yeah, I guess it's fair.
Because 10-2 doesn't get you to the playoff.
No.
I mean, it's just a very, very, very good season.
Gets you a good bowl game.
Yeah, it'll get you a good bowl game.
Get you a post-Christmas bowl game.
Yeah, and I think that would probably be more impressive to... Like, if you win that bowl game, then you're talking. But that's the difficult position that they're in right now, is that it is an image, fan base, money situation now. That's what people want. Brett Yormark told the entire country that's all they're looking for in the Big 12. And so why I think like a 10-2 season would be awesome by any measure, I don't think it helps you get into any conference. Because if the ACC takes you, it's because they lost teams and they need them. And they desperately need them.
Yeah.
And the Big 12, that won't change your footing with them. Because the expectation would be any team in the Big 12 goes 10-2 with that schedule, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Transitive property, I guess, on that side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, okay, you talked me
which
out of it.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I would love for that, for what you just said to be, 10-2 gets you into a conference.
Yeah. And I don't think it gets them into conference. I think it just keeps them relevant enough. because I don't think they can really make, barring a run to the college football playoff, I don't think they can make up enough ground to gain footing. But I think if they win less than 9, I think they can legitimately lose footing.
Yeah.
Like they're not in a win-win situation. They are in a no-win situation where it's continue holding on for dear life by being even better than people expected, or fall off by doing what's expected.
See, yeah, and I look at that as if your 4 losses on this year's schedule,
Oregon, UNLV, Purdue,
but yeah, if they're 2 the big schools, well, on your schedule, like Oregon, UNLV, Purdue. Boise State. Nobody's going to knock them for that.
No.
Because those are teams that are supposed to be better than them this year, you know?
Like, they'll find a way to knock them, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I mean. I don't think they can gain footing, but I think they can lose it, which sucks. I don't like that at all.
I think that footing was lost about August of last year.
Yeah, that's fair.
That sucks.
All right. Moving on to our worst day on the web. I when I look for these, I'm always like, that's an interesting
headline. I'll throw Washington State into that mix, too.
Yeah.
If they lose to Washington State, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You guys are in the same boat.
When I look for these stories or somebody sends them to me, I look at the headline and go, and then kind of go, it gets into a pile. And then I make a kind of selection from a group. This one stood alone because electrocuted birds are bursting into flames and starting wildfires.
Because birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
One of the things I love about Worst on the Web is searching out these stories, then finding things like rodenticide, new words and new studies.
Right.
This one, avian-caused ignitions.
Excuse me?
Avian-caused ignitions.
Okay.
This is a real phenomenon that has become more than a little bit of a problem. Birds catching on fire on power lines and causing wildfires is a real thing.
I thought birds didn't get electrocuted on power lines because they're not grounded.
Well, turns out they absolutely can.
Do they hit like the live wire part where it connects to the pole there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And there's the transformer connects. What squirrels have started doing is like making nests in these boxes. My internet went out a couple weeks ago, and it was because a squirrel had, there's a black box. If you look up at the top of the like internet cable telephone poles in the neighborhood, there's a newer box on the internet line that's like right below or above the power lines. And this squirrel had filled it with nuts.
Yeah.
Like it's a box the size of like a portable speaker.
Just squirrels out there trying to get a nut.
Right. And because of that, the birds were trying to get to it, and they were trying to find like new ways to get into it. And this is a thing that's also happening is these birds, electrocuted flaming bird carcasses are falling off power lines and causing wildfires across the U.S. That is the word for word summary here. Okay, and this is, they have now done a study that was conducted in 2022 that found that 44 wildfires in the contiguous United States were caused over a 4-year period from 2014 to 2018.
Goodness gracious.
That's 10 plus wildfires a year caused by a sparrow catching fire.
That is so many.
Think of how insane that is.
They want to yell at me for throwing a firework into a ravine.
I mean, right?
Wait a minute.
No, don't do that either. One of the guys that conducted the study was done by Taylor Barnes. He's a biologist who works for a power company. And he said, sometimes they just burst into flames. Sometimes they just fall dead, but not everybody's electrocuted will fall to the ground and start a fire. I don't, have you seen the social media video of the bird that does this? Like, it's on the power line with a bunch of other birds, and it's like a big open transformer. It looks like a third world nation.
Okay.
And it's been turned into like a thousand, like, as is wont to do in social media, anytime something funny comes up, everyone does the same 30,000 things, but just puts their own name on it. And this bird a large bird, size of a chicken,
okay,
perhaps.
Yeah.
And it hits the transformer and immediately like bursts into flame and it's on camera and falls to the ground. And then there's a transition and somebody like drops a whole rotisserie onto their plate and they're like, see, and it's like, I've seen every single person do it. And it's like, okay, I get it, guys.
We need to get
stop copying
a hold of the swagger jacking on social media.
Look, somebody else does it. It's done.
Like, because this is what TikTokers do, right? They take a video that goes viral, and then they just have, like, a split screen of them watching it. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not adding anything here. You're just watching
That's TikTok aggregation.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely terrible. But the first time I saw it, I laughed. So there's that cap that I was telling you about on top of the transformer. So sometimes what can happen is insects get inside that cap and then attracts the birds. The bird goes to eat the insects, particular woodpeckers and crows.
Oh, all right.
Which that's probably why we have endangered species on the woodpecker list. They're not very bright.
They do ram their head into things.
I have seen one hit a 220 line that was running along. So my parents have a shop on their property and there's a 220 line that runs into the property, and it comes like there's a pipe that runs down like parallel to it on like a pole.
Mm-hmm. You know, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Yeah, you know.
Whatever.
And it was sitting there.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
220 volts.
Sure.
It's what powers your appliances.
Of course.
The big, like, crazy-looking plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had 220. I got blasted by 220.
Yeah, you've told the story of your eyebrow ring.
Yeah, jumped off my eyebrow. Mildly problematic. Don't lose bets, folks.
Lord knows, how do you keep track of all these stories?
Yeah.
But no, 220 hurts a lot. But I watched a woodpecker. I'm like, because it made this brrring, brrring. It sounded like somebody like ringing like an old-timey telephone pole. But it was this dumbass bird pecking on metal. And
everyone find out. He's trying to find out what's in there.
Well, he did. And then he got blasted. And it was like, stupid. We were all sitting out there just watching this happen. Like, you think he's gonna get, because it was just aluminum.
Yeah.
So he eventually got through it and got absolutely blasted, and we went and scooped his carcass up and threw it in the dumpster.
Last couple weeks I've just learned that birds are not very smart.
Super dumb.
We're
getting eaten by mice.
Yeah. Wow.
Just very, very, very dumb.
I wanna know, so how many wildfires in the United States have there been?
44. Over the course of a four-year period. According to the 22 study, the area of California coast in the state's Mediterranean ecoregion has the highest density of wildfires set off by avian ignitions.
She probably figured this out.
Avian ignitions is funny. It's like, is this like the remix to ignition? Is that what this is?
Avian ignitions, birds catching on fire.
Exploding.
And then catching our homes on fire as a result because of the wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Avian Ignitions is the name of my punk band.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great band name.
It is a phenomenal
band. Honestly, this seems like how like Pontiac should rebrand the Firebird.
Is Avian Ignition? It's got an Avian Ignition system. Goes 0 to 60 in 3.2, bro.
You're gonna find some dummy that thinks Avian Ignition means he's gotta rip a bird's foot off and stick it in the keyhole.
That is very true, because there is a large swath of people that do not realize a third pound of meat is more than a quarter pounder. People really love the quarter pounder because they think it's bigger than...
It's four is bigger than three.
Third. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, A&W.
Yikes. Yeah. So I would actually... Also, you're giving them far too much credit because they have no idea what the... Those people don't know what avian means.
Also, on top of that...
They don't know. They're like,
valid point.
It sounds awesome, dude.
Remember, your burger size is pre-cooked.
Yes, it is.
I always hated that.
Well...
When you cook a burger down, whether it's quarter pound, third pound, half pound, whatever, well, it cooks down substantially.
Well, yeah, but you want them to throw that sucker on a scale after it's done cooking?
Yeah, and then what do they do?
Put it on the bun and give it to me.
Just keep putting raw meat onto the cooked one, and they're like...
We got to get this back up to a third pound.
No, I mean...
Look, if you know what your meat quality is, if it's 80-20, you know how much fat is going to burn off, so you know that in order to make a quarter pounder, you would need X percent more meat.
What you are just saying right now is you're trying to make America fatter. No, I don't think we need that problem.
I'm just saying,
right,
stop
now
advertising a quarter pounder as a quarter pounder.
Well, it's a quarter pound of meat when they throw it on the grill. I think it's fine.
But you're not eating a quarter pounder.
You sure are?
But no.
When I go pick up that pound of ground beef at the store, you cut it into four. That's 4 quarter pounders.
That's right.
Terrible.
Yeah. And then you cook it in a little bit.
A lot of it.
Kind of drains out.
A lot of it.
Yeah. Well, if you're getting that, if you're getting the fat meat.
Well, I mean, look, the 80-20 is good.
Look, I'm just happy to know birds are real because of this story. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're really learning.
Pretend that birds are fake.
Well, or as this Vancouver 4 text line says, power lines are just recharging stations for the government birds. Maybe that's it.
The robotic birds.
This is what they want you to think.
And they're just short-circuiting and catching fire.
They're just, they just have a problem when they plug in, a spark happens, and they're just saying, no, that's a bird catching on fire. Yeah.
Those are all charging stations?
This is a cover-up. I can't wait for the cover-ups. The counter to this story that you're talking about is that the government cover-up is that, no, these are the birds recharging, and they have a faulty plug-in system, and that's what's really causing this.
Yeah, and that's how we prevent wildfires.
Yeah.
Smokey the Bear is actually a government agent.
Yeah.
he's the one that's... Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's
you
right.
And robot birds.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. All right, let's pivot to the NFL for a few minutes.
There's been a ton
of deals that have been done. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk about maybe a deal that still isn't done. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, the NFL season is underway, yet the business world of the NFL is still firing along. Money is being handed out hand over fist, apparently, to everyone, including Jalen Ramsey, who's now the highest paid corner in the NFL yet again.
Take that, Patrick Surtain.
I'm surprised. Not that he got paid. I'm surprised that he was allowed to be the one that set the market, considering where the Miami Dolphins are at. It feels like that's an organization that they're good, but it doesn't feel like they're in the position to be offering top of market deals across the board when they still have plenty of other questions.
I think they have that awareness that they're never going to have to pay Tua top dollar. And they kind of know that because the awareness that Tua has about his injury history and his production on the field. Like, we don't talk about this enough with Tua, is that he is really open about who he is, where he is in the NFL's hierarchy. Like, when he talked about the Brian Flores thing that made a bunch of headlines, it was because he was talking about his redemption arc in the NFL from being a guy that people were saying should be benched and all of his limitations and how the relationship with Mike McDaniel is what got him to the point where he is not just a starting level quarterback, he's an above average quarterback in the NFL right now. But he has that awareness about him
of not requiring to be paid like the 14th best quarterback. He's okay just getting paid.
He's going to be paid an ungodly amount of money.
Yes, but there was somebody else who just who took the money and was just like, I'm good. And I'm trying to think of who it was, and it was such a huge deal. God, I am totally blanking on this. And it was such a thing. It was like, it was Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's self-awareness of his father, Rick Brunson, who was on the Knicks staff, said he told the
it's pretty hard to tell dad who's negotiating you to take a hike.
Well, I mean, no, his dad played for 9 years in the NBA on 9 straight non-guaranteed contracts. And so Jalen grew up in this era where his dad made money.
Blazer legend, Rick Brunson.
There you go. But he never had any sort of certainty.
Yeah.
And Jalen basically said, look, I'm going to piss off the players union, but I don't care because I just want to have the guaranteed money. And so he didn't string it out and maximize all the different potentials, and it allowed OG Anunoby to get paid, allowed them to go make the deal for Mikal Bridges. Like, they had all this understanding, and I think Tua's probably in that same vein. And it's interesting that they're both smaller guys who kind of have this innate understanding that while they are very good, they're not the absolute best.
Yeah.
And they've got teammates that love them. They've kind of taken over and reshaped organizations, not in a way like a Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or a Giannis or a Luka, like the guy who's a legitimate MVP candidate, but a really good player.
I mean, he is going to, and this is like with Tua's contract, they have an out after 2026 in his deal, and they're probably going to rework his deal next year because he right now, as it stands, he'll have a top five cap hit in the NFL next year because he did rework that extension. Because what do teams always do? They sign a guy to extension, kick the can down the road, and then after next year, he will, like, he enters right now as a top five cap hit, but Burrow will jump him. Lamar is going to jump him. Herbert is going to jump him. And I believe Jordan Love is going to jump him as well next year. So when deals start kicking in and they're going to have to renegotiate. But this is why Jalen Ramsey gets his money, is because right now Tua's cap number is $9.5 million. If you're going to pay him to keep him around, pay him right now, front load that thing. Because, I mean, Tua's not going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. And when they gave him his deal and knowing what the cap is going to do, he won't be, I would be shocked if after in that 2027 season,
window,
if he's even a top 10 quarterback in the NFL with a $45 million cap hit. He'll have a $45 million cap hit that year. And I bet he's not even in touching. I bet you it's not even close to being in the top 10 of highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, just because of where the money is going right now.
And how much is escalating.
Yep.
We talked about Tua a ton here, but coming back to Ramsey, even with that of like not Tua not getting that deal,
yep.
are you wanting to invest that kind of money into Ramsey?
Yeah. He's still one of the best corners in the NFL. But and that's one of the things, like if you have the money, go ahead and spend it in the ways that you can, because they have wiggle room this year to spend a little bit of that money. Next year, they have a little bit less, but you can front load this thing to make it so you're not up against the cap. Corners fall off very quickly, though.
That's where that's
the that's the apprehension is, all right, how quickly does this go downhill for him?
Because it seems like around year six, year seven, that's when it just, you know, Revis had that run, that's, and then the cliff that he fell off of was monumental. And it was like... Yeah. Oh,
he's 29 years old.
And then that's kind of what I was wondering. I'm like, look, 26, I get that.
Yep.
I get that. Once you're getting that deal at 29, it feels like, that feels like Nnamdi.
He had to do it before he turned 30. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Remember the Nnamdi Osman deal?
Oh, yeah.
He went to the Eagles and just was cooked.
Yep.
Absolutely cooked. And I was like, woof, that's, because Nnamdi was one of the probably three best quarters in the NFL. And
he was trying to work into the world of acting. Is he still doing that?
I think so.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
He's a handsome man.
He is a handsome man.
He gets you in.
He was on the show that was filmed here in Portland, Leverage. He was on Leverage. Nnamdi Osman
was.
Yeah. Well, like, he had a cameo in it.
Yeah, he's got that look. Oh, God, he's married to Kerry Washington.
Well, he doesn't need to work.
No.
Nope.
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be.
Great for him.
Great for him.
I love me some Kerry Washington.
My goodness. Good for you, buddy. Another deal that was signed real quickly. The Steelers inked Pat Freiermuth to a four-year little deal, which, again, the Steelers, when they spend money, they spend it wisely on offense. They just don't ever spend that much.
Yeah. I mean, that is the most Steelers deal of all time.
$11 million a year for a tight end who's very good. Again, that tight end market, it still baffles my mind how the players union hasn't just gone nuts.
Well, how the agents can't leverage their clients for more money.
That's what I mean. Like,
I don't know.
It's insane.
How in the world you look at
Kelsey,
all of the
Kittle.
the tight ends across the league that are dominant and how valuable they are for every facet of your offense, and yet they still can't get over the hump of
$15 million.
I mean, I would pay, if I had a tight end like a Pat Freiermuth, I would be willing to pay him like my best receiver.
Yeah, $20 million a year for one of the top five tight ends in the league. Yeah. Yeah.
Yet they're like, nope.
No, that $15 million thing is just like a,
it's crazy.
This, you know, glass ceiling. It's just sitting there on the tight end position. Golly. It's super, super weird. All right. As we go straight into the NFL. One game is in the books, but we have the rest of the weekend still to dive
Great
into.
Slate.
What are you looking forward to most from week one in the NFL? Come up here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.